What is today's date? The September 8th edition of Saturday AM Live. I want to thank all of you who are punctual, especially those in the West Coast who are braving the darker morning hours that we are now entering into. And with daylight savings time being shoved into November, still haven't figured out why in the world they did it that this year, but it's going to be darker for a lot more. So we will be doing this entire call here on the West Coast completely by candlelight. Or if you have electricity, then you can use that, of course. I want to give you two quick announcements before we jump in with our special guest this morning. And that is next Saturday, the 15th, I will be yielding the call to my mom, Char Rogers, who has lined up quite a list of guests, and they're going to be talking about the subject of nutrition, specifically the plant-based diet, some of the results that they've discovered in their own bodies in the last few months, and just some wonderful things. Matter of fact, they are attending right now. Some of the people that will be on the call are attending a convention, I guess you'd call it, down in Northern California. So it'll be interesting to hear them. And then on the 22nd, this is where I need all of you all's help. If you're on this call, you surely can contribute. We need as many testimonies on the OsteoDents as we can possibly cram into 30 to 40 minutes. Since nobody's produced one yet, we want to produce a testimony CD on this product. We've already started getting a few via email, but we'd love to capture them all onto one conference call. So that's Saturday the 22nd. So if you've got one, you know somebody, have them email me, have them call me, whatever you can do to get me that, and we'll line that up. So let's jump into things and hear from our special guest. Most everyone has heard Ed Wiens either live at some of the many events that he's spoken at or on the Fishers of Men CD. And I think the other one that rings true in my mind is the one that was recorded called Make the Decision, which is a great piece to hand to anybody who's contemplating NECN or just kind of needing to give them a little oomph. And then also one of the most featured speakers on the Big Picture conference call. So, Ed, it's a great honor to have you on Saturday AM Live. And I realized that when we spoke a few minutes ago that, yes, it is early on a Saturday morning.
Well, if anybody's on the call from Alaska or Hawaii, they're still living in Friday.
Yeah, that we don't get too many of our Hawaiians on the call because it's still, let's see, 4 a.m. there. Every once in a while, you'll hear one brave, you know, maybe I'm off a late
sleep.
Yeah. It's one of those things. So, again, Ed, why don't, for the folks that have never heard you, or just for the record, would you mind sharing your story of how you and Ginger and your family were introduced to NECN, because it's one of those stories that I think all of us can relate to, because most, probably 99.9% of us, most of us were not born to be, or we didn't think we'd be born to hook up with a Japanese magnet company as it was when we were introduced to it. So now how Chuck Branum impacted or intersected your life that Sunday afternoon.
Well, first of all, good morning, Dance. Good morning to the many folks on the call. It's a pleasure to be on, and just nice to be alive and well on a beautiful sunny morning in the Pacific Northwest. This is a great time of the year up here. So, yeah, my memory goes back, Dance, to just about this time of the year, actually, 14 years ago, about less than 10 minutes from where I'm sitting right now. There's a big church building where I used to spend a lot of time. I was there every day, and it was actually a Wednesday night when a gentleman named Chuck Branum walked up to me, and I didn't know Chuck very well. I knew his wife, Claudia, just because we worked together at a social service agency that I can actually see the locale right from my balcony where I'm standing right now. And Claudia, his wife, was a wonderful volunteer at this agency where I had worked for several years, and she'd been volunteering there for 15 years. So she was a wonderful, caring, compassionate person, the kind of person you just have to have when you run a nonprofit organization. So I knew her. Chuck, her husband, was just, I didn't know him. He, in fact, the 5 years prior to him approaching me, he sort of dropped out of sight because she was doing a very noble thing, caring for his mother, who had become bedridden, and at the area where actually living apart while he gave care to his mom 24/7. I never saw him. And so he walks up to me on a Wednesday night and stops me as I'm trudging across the large lobby of our church in a very spiritual mission dance. Was on my way to get an espresso.
And for people on the West Coast, or in certain churches, that's a foreign concept in itself.
It's a new form of communion up here in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, I think we renamed the patron saint of coffee. It's not called Starbucks, it's St. Arbucks. Anyway, that's what I was doing. And so Chuck stopped me and he says, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And he said, he stammered a little bit, and he said, are you ever open to looking at a way to make extra money? Well, I mean, if that isn't a dead giveaway that you're about to be prospected, I don't know, what is. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. Chuck's got a new deal, and I'm on his list. And this is the first time that I've known who he was, that he's ever started a conversation with me. And we probably, if you took all the conversations we've ever had in the 10 years I knew who he was, we've been on this call longer already right now than all those conversations people ever would amount to.
So you and Chuck weren't hooking up for lunch.
No. So I thought, okay, Chuck, I said, listen, I've done lots of extra things, which is what you do when you work for a nonprofit and you want to feed your family. Some of you on the call have probably worked for a nonprofit before. I mean an on-purpose nonprofit. Because there's a lot of nonprofits, a lot of for-profits that aren't profitable. So I said, but I've done lots of things, but right now I'm not looking to do anything. I know you probably have something you want to present to me, but I'm going to let you know that I'm not interested. So, I mean, I closed the door before, he was still knocking on the door. And I've often thought back, Vance, I thought, man, I wonder how many times in my life opportunity came knocking, and I just complained about the noise and said, go away. And never even looked to see what was behind the door. But I was busy. I said, I'm working 60, 70 hours a week, and I'm on this board, and I'm in this project, and this is the Kiwanis Club in town. It was the largest service club of its kind in the Pacific Northwest at the time. And I said, I'm a chaplain for the fire department, and I'm on a school board, and I've got, four kids, and all that goes along with that. So, hey, thanks for thinking of me, but I just take me off your list. So, I didn't want to be, that was, I said, hopefully in a way that wasn't too, rude. I just want to let him know that I wasn't interested. But I was curious, doggone it. I had this curiosity gene, right into me somewhere along the line. And so as I'm walking away, I said, by the way, Chuck, what are you doing? I mean, my thought, Chuck was an introvert. I mean, he was a guy that when you said hello to him, he stumped for an answer. So I'm thinking, what could it be that after 10 years of crossing paths a little bit, he's approaching me because he's never done that? So I had to know. I said, Chuck, what are you doing? And he says, have you ever heard of magnetic health products? And I got to tell you, folks, if you could envision my interest, on a gauge of like 0 to 100, the needle was already on 0, maybe it upticked to 1 just out of curiosity. So when he said biomagnetic health products, I mean, the needle didn't twitch. I mean, it didn't twitch up anyway. It probably twitched down. And I thought to myself, I thought, oh, my God, Chuck's been sucked into a magnetic cult of some kind. And I said, no, Chuck, I've never heard of that. I'll be honest with you. It sounds kind of weird. Now, you have to understand, when a guy walks up to you that you know is on Social Security, is driving an old beater car and wearing a polyester leisure suit from the Salvation Army thrift store, and he says, do you want to hear how to make some extra money? The picture's a little fuzzy. So I just said, Chuck, it just sounds kind of weird. And he says, well, I understand that. Would you do me a favor and listen to a tape? Just give me your opinion. And so here's my thought process when he asked me that. I thought, that's a pretty simple request. I can't hardly say no to that. And I also thought, if indeed he is somehow in his desperation in his mid-60s to try to find something to be successful at, he's got erroneously involved in something, for Claudio's sake, maybe I should find out what it is so I can get him out of it. Isn't that a noble thing, Vince?
Yeah, to kind of rescue someone in need.
Oh, yeah, I'm kind of a missionary,
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, Chuck, I'll listen to your tape, but I'm not interested. I'll just do it as a favor to you and Claudia. He said, all right, so he gave me his tape. Not a pretty tape. Not a professionally labeled tape. In fact, Chuck, you have to understand, Chuck had been collecting recorded presentations since the days of wire recordings. Most people don't even know what that is on this call, but it predates reel-to-reel tape technology. And of course, you know, when cassette tapes came along, that was like the holy grail, the guy like Chuck. So he's been collecting cassette tapes throughout his years of involvement in network marketing deals, which dates back to the early 60s. And I know what he gave me was a recycled Amway tape. And he had done his best to peel the label off of, which didn't come off cleanly. And he had written the title or whatever it was, something about Nikan and Magic Marker on this tape. So this is the professional prospecting piece I was given to evaluate this world-class opportunity by. And so I popped the tape in one day, just pure out of obligation, and you know, I told him I'd do it. And, of course, I started hearing all these stories that just sounded too good to be true. And but what they did sound like, Vance, was I knew they weren't made up. I mean, nobody could have paid anybody to make a tape that lousy. It was real people, I could tell. And, you know, we all have I call it our sincerity gauge. We can kind of tell when somebody's shooting straight or they're trying to pull one over on us. And nothing about the way these folks came across led me to believe anything other than that they were sincere. And their stories were passionate. Their stories, I thought, you know, even if half these stories are true, this would be pretty impressive, you know, results. Then I heard about the company. The company was, I think at the time, 19 years old. They were doing $1 billion a year in 12 countries, and it was all word of mouth driven. Well, I knew enough about just marketing and PR to know that if you're going to live and die by word of mouth, then you better have something worth talking about. And if this company's been around that long, I mean, you don't accidentally become a $1 billion a year company. You don't sustain your growth over 19 years with something that's not helping people if you're going to depend on their word of mouth to grow your business. I was with Will Rogers. I love the quote, and he said one time, he says, you know, everybody's ignorant, just on different subjects. Mm-hmm. And I was completely ignorant of all of this, but I realized, wow, you know, there's something worse than being ignorant. That's being ignorant and opinionated about it. And I'm not saying I've never been that way at times in my life, but I thought, if something's going on here that I'm just clueless about, my only question really for Chuck when he came back to me, I said, Chuck, I don't have any time for this, really, and I wish you all the best, but is there anything here that might be of help to my wife? My wife, Ginger, who just had a lot of problems with her health. She had, she didn't sleep well, she ached, and she had headaches frequently, and thankfully for all of us in the household, she wasn't a complainer. She's just not that kind, but the downside of that is that she did what she had to do to cope, which what we didn't know meant taking pain pills every day. And I didn't know she was thinking thoughts like, gee, if I hurt this bad now, just in my 40s, what's going to be like as I get older? So anyway, he said, well, let me loan you some products. So he loaned me the most weird assembly of stuff that, you know, I'd ever seen or heard of. And I took all this stuff home to Ginger in a black, big black bag, and I said, honey, I'm this is going to sound weird. I don't know really what this stuff is. I don't have any idea if it'll help you, and if it does, I don't have any idea why. And I know to most of you it sounds like a real convincing presentation, but the truth is she didn't need convincing. She was desperate, and here's what she did. She took the pad out. She told me this later. She put the pad, one of those little, demo kind of pads, unfolded it. She laid it down. She said, well, I'm just going to see what this thing feels like to lay on it. And she laid down on it. And woke up an hour later. And she woke up and she was shocked that she'd fallen asleep to begin with. But she'd slept for an hour. And then when she woke up, she just kind of liked how she felt. And she started wearing the stuff, the insoles in her shoes. These were the old Japanese style Vans. You know, they had big bumps on one side and giant ones on the other side.
Right.
And so after a few days, I'm busy and I'm not even thinking about it. Finally, I said, hey, what do you think of that stuff around Humpty? And she looked at me and she said, it's an absolute answer to prayer. To which I said, you've got to be kidding me.
You were really hoping that it wasn't going to do anything.
Well, right? I suppose, how could I not be happy that it was doing something for her? But in my mind, I'm thinking, what in the world? I said, well, what does that mean? She says, I don't know what it means, but I do know that it means that whoever you got it from is not getting it back. Of course, me being the spiritual giant that I am, I thought, oh, gee, I wonder how much it costs. That was our introduction, and
rescued and completely altered your wife's life.
Your life. I wanted to avoid Chuck for a while, of course, because I knew I couldn't afford whatever the product cost. And
sure.
But I discovered something too, Vance. That it doesn't the busiest person on this call or the busiest prospect anyone on this call I had a cousin come through town on business, and we hadn't seen each other in years, and we kind of did the typical family update sort of news, and I kind of told him what she'd experienced, and he, to my surprise, he kind of lit up. He says, "I want to know more about that." I said, "I don't know any more about it." He says, "Well, can you find out some more?" And I'm thinking to myself, "Great, now I've got to go to a meeting," and I didn't want to go to a meeting. And so, I told Chuck, I said, "I guess I got to find a little more about this." So he told me about this meeting coming up. And it was on a Saturday, and I'm thinking, great, I've been to Saturday network marketing meetings before, and I felt like I'd been involved before in another business, and I thought, I'm sufficiently now vaccinated to never catch the disease in network marketing again. So we went to this meeting on a Saturday, and I'm telling Ginger on the way there, because she's kind of enthused. I mean, she took a lot for her to want to go on a Saturday, but she knew she had experienced something. But I felt, she's also kind of a, she's also kind of a salesman's dream, She's just so kind and polite. And I said, "Honey, when you go there today, we are not getting involved in anything. I want you to not boo and aah, not look real interested and excited. In fact, if you can avoid it, don't even make eye contact with people." So we get there, and there's this gold distributor running this meeting named Ruth Williams, and she introduced a bunch of silvers, one of whom was one couple of Vinnie and Char Rogers. And there was a silver named Dave Solstice there, and there was a brand new diamond couple that were the top producers in the whole room, and they were the last ones standing. And it was a couple that I looked and they're pretty simple, plain packaging. He obviously hadn't taken time to iron his shirt, and it was Dave and Valerie Johnson. It was just funny to have them look back at that whole thing. And
he's now transgressed and actually either paying someone to iron his clothes or he does iron them.
But I walked away that day with a little bit more intrigue, a little more interest. In fact, I heard some stuff from a couple of doctors that were there that were honest enough to say, "Hey, we were completely skeptical of this, but we've spent years of our life in study of medicine and lots of money and never heard of these technologies, but when we finally humbled ourselves and did a little research, we were stunned to see how much research was out there. This is 14 years ago. And, it's nothing like what there is today." And one of them talked about this in the kind of condition that my cousin had been suffering from years. For years, we had to get insulin shots every day. So I called him up. I said, "Hey, there's something here apparently for you." And he said, "Well, give me a pair of those insulin." I sent him to him. Got a phone call a week later, and he's almost in tears. He said, "I have warmth and color and feeling and feet that have been numb for 15 years. And I guess at that point, the light came. I mean, the light was flickering on with Ginger's story.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. But now it was, the power of second-party validation. It just, the light came on. I thought, okay, this company's for real. These products really work. And that light's never, ever gone out. In fact, I just had to renew 2 weeks ago. I reached the point in my EKM career where renewal to me anymore is never an automatic, just click, 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 put the credit card in. I make a phone call, and I get on the line with somebody at the home office, and we go through a little celebration of renewal, and it's become a right, because I've never done anything this long, man. I'm kind of a new project person. I have to have a new challenge, something fresh, and the longest I've ever done any one thing, when I held one position prior to this was 7 years. Now I'm in my 15th year here.
Wow.
So I'm setting a new record every day, and it's because I feel like we're still in the new phase of this. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ed, for those who don't know, your background is primarily working in ministry or nonprofit positions. Churches, organizations, helping fundraise. And you made the comment that as life, as human beings, we like to talk to people. And I was listening, I guess it was yesterday, actually, I recorded Terry Latham's Monday Night Pathfinder call, and I was listening to it, and the new recruits that he's got on the call, they talked to 12 people in 1 week and introduced them to NECAN. And I don't know what the numbers were, how many they signed up or whatever, but the gentleman had made the comment simply, you got to talk to people. This is about people. If we clam up, I mean, even Chuck Branham, of all people, I mean, and he's just now, 15 years later, I mean, after spending a week with him on the Alaskan cruise a few weeks back, I'm seeing a side of Chuck that I never had seen before, because he's starting to, really in front of people. Because has he ever done a wellness preview?
I don't. We won't let him anymore.
Yeah.
He threatens to once in a while. But we say, "No, Chuck, don't wreck your record." You have to understand, Chuck was, he really was an absolute introvert. His circle of contacts, let alone the circle of influence, was, I would think it was totally fair to say at the stage of his life where he got involved in Nikan, it was fairly non-existent. And so Chuck was, he was very, very smart, though. He'd been, you know, he's been schooled in this industry, and he's been a disciple of, you know, books and tapes and stuff for years, and he didn't even try to engage me in any kind of a convincing conversation when he first approached me, and I kind of stiff-armed him. He just very quickly tried to leverage a third-party piece of information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the smartest thing he could have done, because he could have come back and said, well, you know, I know it, you may think it sounds weird, but let me tell you, and it would have never, ever got to first base. He wouldn't have got out of the batter's box with me, because he just didn't have that. He didn't have that kind of credibility with me, and it wouldn't have gone anywhere. And he didn't even, and he was smart enough to know that. Would you do me a favor and just listen to a tape? And he leveraged the credibility of a third-party piece. I can't tell you how important that was in the process. Had he done anything different than that, I don't know where we'd be today.
Well, he could have sat down with you, set up a coffee or, you know, lunch sometime and tried.
I wouldn't have given him the time. No way. And you have to understand, I mean, seriously, here's a guy that is, I knew he had a history of being through, you know, many, many deals. In fact, after we got to talking about Nikan, I went into his little office one day, and he had, it was a converted garage in the house that his mother, who had just passed away, had been born in. And she was, I think, 80-something when she died. So, I mean, this is an old place, old part of Tacoma. And this old garage converted to his little mini warehouse. He had products on the shelves from I don't know how many different network marketing companies. And he had a file cabinet, and there was the name written in little filing folder labels glued to the outside of the box of I don't know how many companies. And I said, Chuck, are these all the companies that you've been involved in? He says, well, those are just the ones that are rated having a file. There were others. So, I mean, he had this history about him, and, you know, I wouldn't have given him, I mean, and again, he just didn't, I knew Claudia had taken a job just to kind of help make ends meet. They were meeting. Now, they were always kind. They were always generous. They would always help out. You know, the school fundraiser would come along. They'd always buy a couple boxes of chocolates or something. But and so they always had a giving name. I mean, well, Claudia had volunteered at a rescue mission for 15 years and was still doing that just because that's the nature. So I admired that about them. But to be a source for economic direction in life, no way. No way. Yeah, they are now.
Yeah, and I think about that, and there's so many great truths in exactly what you had mentioned, leveraging a tool.
Yeah.
And that so often we have people today that we want to try and figure it all out. We want to figure out the technology of these products. We want to figure out network marketing, which really, I mean, Dave Stolkus has always said, 3 to 5 years at best to really understand what this industry is, the nuts and bolts. And you know, I was prospected just a couple days by a gentleman, and he started into a spiel, and I said, actually, the name of the company that you're talking, and they're always afraid to tell me the name of the company right up front for some reason.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, and yet, you know, we and me can have the opportunity just to go for the jugular right up front. And if we'll leverage people, we'll leverage tools and not try to explain it all, and it seems awkward at times, but you know, I just dropped several CDs in the mail to people that a gentleman I met on a red-eye flight that I kept his card for some reason.
Yeah.
And he was trying to sell me his services, his computer service. And I'm like, dude, I'm the last guy you want to talk about computer stuff. And but I thought, you know, I'm going to finally utilize this, and I dropped a testimony CD in the mail, and I just wrote him a personal note, and I've got his number.
Yeah.
You know, and but it's just about leveraging that. And
hey, the best fisherman in the world, smart enough to go use bait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just not going to coax them out of the water, no matter how good you are. You got to leverage something to be effective.
Yeah. So, Ed, let's fast forward. You and Ginger are diamonds today, and you refer to people as a double diamond, and I don't know if we need to go into all that.
Okay.
The last few years, Ginger's health has not been the greatest. Do you mind being vulnerable and sharing with the group what you guys, your journey through wellness and what you've discovered through
Well, I don't know where we'd be health-wise or economically today if it hadn't been for these technologies that really, I think Ginger probably put it best way back when we got started. These were an answer to prayer. And, I find in life that the answers to prayer sometimes we miss them simply because we don't recognize the package they come in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was I mean, we've never heard, I never heard the word fibromyalgia back in those days. And I think now that we've been around long enough to meet people who had that kind of condition, I mean, symptomatically, I mean, you can go right down the list. That's obviously what she was dealing with back at the time. We just didn't know that. We just know life got better. But, you know, she's had a setback in the last few years. We don't know, again, where we would have been, you know, prior without these products. But she's dealing with a diagnosis that's not a good one. Ovarian cancer is a tough one. And but we're thankful that we've got to complement some of the things that we're doing medically. We've got the repertoire of Nikin technologies to provide a wellness environment to function in, because you know, she's doing better today than most people would be doing 3 years after such a diagnosis. So we're in the battle. We're thankful for the economic foundation to be able to pursue health and well-being at this time. And we're in a battle, but we're thankful for, number one, the awareness of looking at what we're dealing with in a bigger picture than just what conventional medicine can offer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge plus when you're dealing with anything that's a challenge. Basically, just to have a mindset to incorporate wellness technology into the picture, I mean, it has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, she had a treatment yesterday and a conventional medical treatment, and yet last night walking around the fair for several hours afterwards. And so she's got energy, she's got vitality, and we're just believing for life and longevity, and thankful for every day that we've got, and making decisions based on quality of life.
And in traditionally, and see, I've never dealt with this personally, but I remember before Stacy and I were married, Stacy's roommate, who was a pediatric ICU nurse, went through her first stage. She just actually went through it a couple months ago again. It came back, 12 years later, but went through, I just forgot, cancer in her lymph node, Hodgkin's disease. And, you know, the first round of treatment, it was terrible. And the only thing that changed between the first round and the second round is I hooked her up with a Kinko pad and a pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she really used the pillow, because these are the time when we refer to them as the bricks, if I
yeah.
don't believe. But she didn't deal with any of the side effects the second go around. Now, did her mm-hmm. body just, you know, build up an immune system to it, or was it actually the product? You know, and we don't. And I don't think we really care who gets the credit, as long as the, you know, the life has been improved, and that's
yeah.
exactly
yeah.
you know what we, you know, with anything. I mean, I can't help. I'm always doing stuff around the house, and you know, bumping and bruising and injuring this and cutting this, and you know, I don't know where I'd be without these products.
No, exactly.
Part of the whole wellness home is that you have them, you use them, and both of our girls deal with enough stuff. Their oldest with allergies, and they don't deal with that stuff anymore, because
it's the first line of defense in our household. Anything that comes up, we're immediately obviously looking to deal with whatever situation through a mindset of wellness rather than, you know, a conventional path, and that's just the way we think and live now.
Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think that when we've made this journey, and you and I have been around this company long enough, it becomes a lifestyle that you
yeah.
automatically, rather than popping a pill that, you know, you got 2 pages in the magazine of the side effects in the small print, and yet we just, you know, go grab the products and utilize them and
yeah.
enjoy those benefits. And I know that things will continue to change, and life will be even easier. The types of choices that we have, because Nikin's always staying one step ahead of everybody else, cutting edge. We've seen this with the osteodent and what's taking place with that, with bone rebuilding, and some of the testimonies that I've already received have been just, I mean, short of a miracle. We were watching, Stacy's doing this last week, taking a bunch of old TV shows that we used to record on VHS, and one of our favorites was Touched by an Angel, because we knew people that were involved in the production of that show. successful, or
yeah,
you know, they don't have anything wrong with them physically. Ed, let's finish on this note. What would be the one thing that you would encourage wellness consultants, whether new or old or whatever, to, I mean, being going into your 15th year, so you got 14 years under your belt, what would you say to people regarding where we are today? And I know you're an advocate of Paul Zane Fulger's article, The Perfect Storm of Opportunity. What do we really have in front of us?
Well, I think this is his booklet, and I have it in my hand right here, The Perfect Storm of Opportunity. I recommend, folks, if you haven't seen, get your hands on a copy of Paul Zane Fulger's newest little work, get it, because he really puts in very concise terminology, I think, exactly where we are right now. And I appreciate guys like Fulger who have a perspective, the big picture perspective on trends, economic trends specifically, and cultural trends that really help us understand where we are in time and space. You know, the marketer's dream, or in business, in any business, you dream of being in the right place at the right time. And I contend that we all are at times, but most of us don't recognize it until later. We look back and say, boy, that would have, if I'd have bought that piece of property when I had a chance, that would have been a great deal. Or if I'd have bought that stock or made this move, taken this job. I mean, we have great hindsight, but there's a few voices, there's a few people among us who have the ability to look ahead and say, you're in the right place at the right time right now. Fulger is not just, he's not just a, you know, a woo-woo kind of a forecaster. This guy's a brilliant economist. He was one of the guys that blew the whistle back when the savings and loan crisis was about to occur, and he was one of the lone voices to predict what was going to happen. So he's got credibility and a track record as an economic analyst or an economic forecaster, and he says right now that there's a perfect storm of opportunity. Perfect storm just means that several factors are aligning to create the perfect combination of things to make an opportunity timely. And what we're dealing with right now in our economy is an explosion of millionaires, individual millionaires. We're seeing, rather than, you know, maybe one company becoming a billion-dollar company, you know, individuals becoming millionaire individuals. And he tracks in this book the growth of millionaires in America. 1991, there were 3.6 households with a net worth of a million. By 2001, the number had doubled. Because everybody thought in 2001 that, you know, everything was going to collapse because of 9/11. We've increased since then to 10 million. And over the next 10 years, there'll be 10 million more millionaires developed. These are all just economic forecasts. It'd be nice if you hooked up with a company that has as its goal to create some millionaires, wouldn't it? And then he talks about the growth of the, like in the millionaire projection, he talks about wealth equals personal resources times technology. And he explores what that means. And technology, your skills, have to do with your willingness to adapt to new technology and to adapt to new things. And, of course, your wealth, your personal resources, are the people that you know. Then he talks about the other factor is the growth in the wellness revolution. Of course, that's we're with the leader, and so when you combine the economic forecast that's happening, the wellness revolution has taken place, and the growth in personal distribution of intellectual knowledge. That's why I love the fact that we changed our name in this company from being distributors to being consultants, because we distribute intellectual information. People ask me, are you still selling Neekin? I said, I don't really sell Neekin. I educate people about, well, I'm a wellness educator. And when I inform people about wellness, they want to buy. Have I sold them? Well, you can maybe break that down semantically, but really we're just distributing information. But intellectual distribution and network marketing, specifically network marketing, is exploding. So when you combine those three things, the growth and just the economic growth, a huge kind of opportunity, you combine that with the growth in the wellness industry, and the kind of distribution that we're all about, it's the perfect storm of opportunity, as he puts it. Think about this, Vance. People sometimes are skeptical of word-of-mouth marketing. I just pointed out to me the other day. You know that the illicit drug trade globally is larger than the oil industry and the pharmaceutical industry combined?
Wow.
Have you ever seen an ad campaign for illicit drugs? A marketing program? It's all word-of-mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, if that isn't proof that word-of-mouth marketing works and is effective, that's why I guess I feel like I'm still enthused about this, because we're still, I think, in the ground floor stages of legitimizing our method of distribution and marketing. People today are more open to time ever seen. But I've just seen, I worked at fair booth yesterday. I don't typically do a lot of that, but we have the sixth largest fair in the country, right, just a few miles from us here, maybe this time of the year, every year. And some of our folks have a booth there. And I mean, yesterday, I looked at the paper this morning, it was the largest opening day in the fair's, history. And, boy, if I didn't see a parade of people all day long who need wellness drastically, my God. Oh, man, I thought, we had a sick society.
Yeah. I remember working the Oregon State Fair a couple of years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Spent just an hour with my dad and Stacy and took the girls and went around to the lights and whatnot. But in that hour, we counted 13 people that came in front of our booth. And I'm all for advancements in technology and, making life easier. But 13 people in an hour came by riding a motorized scooter. And there was one gentleman that I was guessing his 80s that actually looked like he, with the oxygen tanks, and everything. But all the rest of them were just people that, I'm saying like in their 40s and 50s, that really don't. They needed is wellness. And, we just sat there and in complete amazement. Because, I'm looking at my folks who are 65. And I had a gentleman, our pastor was over for dinner the other night, him and his wife. And my dad came by to drop something off for Emily because it was her birthday. And our pastor makes the comment. I said, yeah, this is my dad. And after my dad leaves, he's like, hey, your dad's a good-looking guy. I just thought, for 65, and I can't imagine where we will be in people that are in their 40s, 50s, and early 60s when we utilize these technologies. And you mentioned the illicit drug industry. Why is it that it's so big? It's because people want the results. They don't care about the side effects. They don't care how it works. They don't care about double-blind studies.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so many parallels. It's exactly what we have with Nick in our wellness home.
Well, yesterday, my mom is 80, almost 84. She came, she loves to go to the fair and walk around, and, she looks so much healthier. She's been on these technologies for 14 years, too. Looks so much healthier than a lot of folks there, half her age, and I'm just thankful that these things came into our world and they've been advanced. I mean, we've impacted the lives of our family, my extended family, and people I'm sure that we'll never even know. But this is the most noble way to make a living that I could possibly imagine. And I mean, I'm including in that everything that people may do to earn a living. This is just fulfilling.
Yeah. And just like Boulder's article, The Perfect Storm of Opportunity, when we seize it, and those of us on the call right now who were, maybe we need to ramp it up a little bit. Maybe we can, do a little more, talk to a few more people. And because there's folks out there that we come across. And, even my neighbor this week, he handed me back a cassette tape because he didn't have a CD player in his truck.
Yeah.
And he handed it back to me, and he said, thanks. And he said, but I'm no salesman. And that gives me an opportunity to follow up because I would never consider myself a salesman either.
That's why I love each time, man. We're recognizing folks on all the silvers and above stand and just have them just kind of go down the line and tell us what their professional background was. So the new people there's no way they can come away concluding, well, gee, you got to be a salesman, because we have by far more teachers and more healthcare professionals than we do salespeople in leadership ranks this business.
Oh, yeah. And which is people that actually went into a trade. Why? Because they want to help other people.
Exactly.
Here, my neighbor is a mechanic for Horizon Airlines. I mean, yeah, he's got to be wanting to help people, in a different way to keep, those planes in the air and stuff. But I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the role models that you and Ginger have been over the years to Stacy and I and to so many folks out there across the Nikon Highway. And I know there's a lot of people that you've inspired today to do a little bit more and maybe talk to some of those people like you. Yourself, that weren't quite as open to the beginning.
Just get up, open your mouth, talk to some folks, and leverage the great materials, the resources we have today to help paint the picture here. You're not intimidated to talk to them because they have more reputation, more success, whatever. Have those folks on your chicken list. What I would do different, and I think you'd probably say the same, if you could go back and start over, is talk to them sooner because they tend to get it quicker and they have a bigger circle of contacts than they do. They have the resources to move on a decision. And what's the worst thing they can say? I want all of you on the call right now to take that beginning, answer the question, what's the worst thing they can say? And if you just said no, then you failed the quiz. The worst thing they can say is, you know what? I just signed up last week with somebody else. And believe me, that hurts worse than no. And I determined I'm never going to want to hear that one again. And the only way to avoid it is pick up the phone, go see them, shoot them an email, whatever you got to do to contact them today.
Yep, and Ed, I know that you and I have both been in this long enough to have every spots. I've met people, I've reunited with them, and they said, oh, yeah, I hooked up with that. And matter of fact, a close friend from Bible school is my brother's roommate. Just came on board a couple months ago, and in 2 weeks prior to him coming on board, I kind of had a vision. I thought, you know, I wonder what he's up to. I didn't really track him down. Well, now today he's one of the high producing volume real estate agents in just outside of Austin, Texas, of all places. So, well, now he's in. Well, he's part of my inheritance because he's in my parents' organization. So I guess it's not too bad.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Ed, again, thank you. I want to thank everybody for joining us today, and hopefully this information has been vitally useful. And if you have somebody that you know that maybe something Ed said could, would resonate with them or even rejuvenate one of your Wanison phones, you can get the recording at Steve Coquist's website, which is listed on the email, or Brad Huddleston will make the recording available at growingandwellness.com. So have a fantastic, wonderful weekend. And those of you in the Northwest, enjoy the sunshine. And Ed, my best to you and Ginger.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.